The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. Hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline, but first it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
The latest Houston sports star to leave is defensive end J.J. Watt.
Just looks bad. The optics are bad for the Texans.
The guy who's got the most say in it, Jack Easterby, resume says shouldn't be in charge, but he is. He's got more power than the owner right now.
The Houston Texans have released defensive end J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt, people have short memories. You know how Aaron Donald is perceived today? He's the best player at his position in the NFL if it's not Patrick Mahomes. He probably has the right argument as greatest player of all time at his position. He's one of those, you know, when I think of the greatest defenders ever, Lawrence Taylor comes first to mind, then Deion Sanders. But, like, in that class is Bruce Smith and Reggie White and Ray Lewis and J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt was Aaron Donald, not the same play the same position exactly, but front four guys, front seven guy, but like, you know, defensive lineman who at his best, he was so great for enough years that the question was he as great as Lawrence Taylor? That J.J. Watt, who's also done charitable work and shown leadership on the team and the community. Everyone has great things to say about J.J. Watt. Like Deshaun Watson. Impeccable reputation on and off the field. Quote, I have sat down with the McNair family. I've asked them for my release, and we've mutually agreed to part ways at this time. Watt said in a video posted to Twitter. I have called the Houston Texans the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL. Don't take my word for it. Take former NFL quarterback and ESPN colleague Sean Salisbury's word for it on Greeny, Mike Greenberg. Here's Sean Salisbury in his words.
Think about the two most powerful people in this organization, the owner, Cal McNair, and Jack Easterby, and neither one of them have any football business savvy, and neither one of them have any football business when it comes to X's and O's, and they're running an organization. And it's obvious that while those guys you named on the way out the building, a couple of them had a knife in their back. I've never seen a situation where a guy whose resume in Jack Easterby can control the owner's ear more than anybody I've ever seen. It is this dysfunction. Green, that's saying a lot considering the sports teams we have. But the dysfunction isn't, well, bad X's and O's. We know that. But you think about this. If this franchise was not protected by the NFL shield, or they did not have that the backing of the NFL or the fact that the NFL always makes money, this business would be boarded up and closed down.
Jack Easterby is a name that you're hearing a lot now. He runs the Texans at this point. Started out as the chaplain. If you Wikipedia Jack Easterby, he's an American Christian pastor, speaker, author. Oh, and by the way, sports administrator. I mean, the chaplain becomes the guy who's running the show. Well, you better pray to God that team is good. I mean, you want some blind faith in your organization? What a laughingstock Jack Easterby and the Texans are right now. Oh, my. And not to mention Cal McNair, because Easterby can't empower himself. Cal McNair has to be foolish enough to empower the team chaplain to run the show. Might be a good chaplain, I don't know. You know, you might have a good dentist, but if you're, you know, on trial for your life, maybe you don't hire the dentist to be your lawyer. It's two different professions. Oh my God, if you're a Texans fan, you're thinking, what the? You're thinking, Cal McNair, what have you done with your chin and your neck? And also, why is a chaplain running the entire franchise? It is unbelievable. Whoa, if I was a Texans fan, I mean, I don't particularly root against the Texans. I don't root for them. I mean, they're just an NFL team to me. I'm a Deshaun Watson fan, J.J. Watt fan, DeAndre Hopkins fan, Andre Johnson fan. Those are all the people. Think about it. It starts out, Easterby's rise coincides with DeAndre Hopkins being traded off the team. Reports talking about, you don't want that guy on this team. Did you consult with his boy and quarterback, Deshaun freaking Watson? Deshaun Watson had to find out, what, from social media that DeAndre Hopkins, one of the greatest receivers of all time, is no longer on the team? Could you imagine Joe Montana watching ESPN to find out Jerry Rice has been traded? What? Well, we feel we don't need to, you know, inform Joe about everything. Uh-huh. So first DeAndre Hopkins is traded, right? And then Andre Johnson says by the end of the season, well, then J.J. Watt apologizes to Deshaun by the end of the season for wasting a year of his prime when they only won four games and Deshaun balled out. Then Andre Johnson comes out. You know, before DeAndre Hopkins, Andre Johnson was the greatest receiver in team history and greatest offensive player in team history before DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson. So first DeAndre Hopkins is gone, alienating Deshaun Watson. Then J.J. Watt, the greatest player, the defensive player in team history, and one of the greatest defensive players of all time, apologizes to Deshaun Watson for the season he just had to go through. Then Andre Johnson, along with DeAndre Hopkins and Deshaun Watson, maybe the greatest player in the history of the franchise on offense, says, hey, Deshaun's got to get out of there. This all because they went on a search for a GM after Bill O'Brien, for good reason, was fired for ineptitude in that department. Whatever you want to say about Bill O'Brien as a coach, as a GM, come on. And Deshaun Watson, before he can say anything publicly, he'd requested a trade, but he kept it private. Before he said anything publicly, the team hurriedly hires an African-American head coach who's over 65 years old, meaning he's not in their long-term plans, and it looks like a PR move to kind of box Deshaun, right? Like, what are you talking about? We're diverse. Look at us. We hired an African-American coach. Deshaun Watson then goes public and says, I want out. I've demanded a trade request several weeks ago. So now your greatest player ever, Deshaun, or at least offensive player, quarterback ever, says he wants out. I mean, what a mess. Now J.J. Watt asks to be for his release. What a mess this team is. Hey, Cal McNair, that was a great move, taking the team chaplain and putting him in charge of everyone. I bet you all the teams are going to start to do that now. And that was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Meantime, Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer defends hiring Chris Doyle. Doyle, a former strength and conditioning coach or strength coach at the University of Iowa, was accused of making racist remarks, belittling and bullying players. Urban Meyer said he had researched Doyle in hiring him as director of sports performance, had some intense conversations with him, and is confident there will not be problems. Urban Meyer, quote, a lot of hard questions asked, a lot of vetting involved with all our staff, Meyer said. The allegations that took place, I will say to the players, I vetted him. I've known him personally for 20 years. I can assure you there'll be nothing of any sort in the Jaguar facility. Meyer said he knows Doyle from when he coached at Utah, and Doyle was the number one strength coach. But Meyer was the head coach at Utah from 2003 to 2004, and Doyle was there for 1 year in 98 before moving on to Iowa. Here's the troubling thing. According to ESPN reporting, numerous players, black players, came out and said there was a racial issue, that he treated black players differently. He used certain derogatory language and treated black players differently. Listen to Urban Meyer at the press conference talking about his reservations in hiring Chris Doyle.
I vet everyone on our staff, and like I said, the relationship goes back close to 20 years, and a lot of hard questions asked, a lot of vetting involved, and with all our staff. But we did a very good job vetting that one.
Uh-huh. And he's telling his players just that you're going to have to trust your head coach. See, here's the thing. In college, as in the pros, like, let's look at the NFL. This is why it becomes a racial issue, right? Let me start by saying, I don't believe that even a problematic past along racial lines for a white coach is permanently disqualifying. I think in American life, we have a tendency in popular culture, especially in this clickbait kind of social media world we live in, to want to you know, we can get a little righteous indignation injection from these little tweets and stuff. And we say, oh, this person basically should be permanently disqualified from American life. He should not be able to pursue his chosen field of endeavor, you know, his chosen profession, and try to continue to, because he did this, he made this mistake, or he was this kind of person once upon a time. And no, I don't believe in that kind of permanent disqualification, usually. For many things, I think, that about which the PC culture says, no, that person should be permanently muzzled and never be able to make a living. I don't believe that. But I do believe you have to show accountability before we can start talking about second chances, right? What accountability has there been here? When? And urban, like, look at the racial composition of the NFL. Zero African-American owners. Not one. 70% plus of the league is African-American. By the way, in college, most of the ADs and the coaches and the administrators, and by the way, TV networks who are making money hand over fist from college football and basketball, are not African-American, but many of the athletes, student athletes who do not get paid are. Urban Meyer can tell his players just to trust him in college, because there's a huge overlap here with like labor issue and racial issue. He can tell the players in college, you're just going to have to trust me, because they're trying to get to a certain place. You think that's going to fly in the pros? Dealing with millionaires? With grown men? Telling them that, oh, just trust me, don't worry, it's fine. I vetted him. And Urban Meyer talks about transparency. The vetting process wasn't transparent. Tell us about the vetting process. Clarence Hill of the Dallas Star Fort Worth in Dallas joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Clarence, are you there?
I'm good, man. How are you doing? It's the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. There you go.
What did I just say?
Dallas
oh,
Star,
yeah, you know why? You know why? Because Raj wrote out the copy for me. That's why. So when Raj writes out your copy, you say the following. I don't even – I'm like Anchorman. You know, I could curse out a city without realizing if it's in the prompter. So it's on my screen. Clarence Hill, Dallas Star, Fort Worth in Dallas. Now he just wrote in Telegram. All right, Clarence. This is the COVID
What's
days.
Up,
you know, I'm in New York. Raj is in L.A., my producer, and this is how it goes. And you're coming from Dallas, Fort Worth. So I was just talking about before I was talking about Urban Meyer, and I'll get you to weigh in on all of it. Do you have any thoughts on Urban Meyer before we get to Deshaun and then finally Dak, which is really why we have you on right now?
Well, first of all, you know, you were talking about earlier, you know, just hiring the strength coach from Iowa. That's just a slap in the face, you know, and for the NFL, who's had all these hashtags in racism and inspire change, you know, they're just empty words. You know, when you allow Urban to do this, and the bigger point is, if you can't stop Urban from hiring a racist strength coach, there's no way you can direct owners to change their policy on hiring, you know, black coaches. Yeah. You're powerless in doing anything with owners when you can do nothing with Urban hiring this racist strength coach.
It's really an unfortunate marriage in a way in the NFL, I think, of power dynamics and race, in the sense that it's a militaristic game. You know, a lot of its roots in West Point, not just the Ivy Leagues. And there's like a certain kind of don't question authority. There's a chain of command, right? So Urban Meyer's there going, hey, I'm the head coach. I'll make this call. Just trust me. But it's not transparent. He doesn't tell you about the actual. He just says he vetted him. Okay, how'd you vet him? Right? Doesn't talk about that. But I'm the head. The problem with that chain of command, don't question authority ethos in the NFL is that the ownership is exclusively white, or certainly it's exclusively not African-American. Most of the GMs, the same thing. Most of the coaches, the same thing. But the labor force is predominantly African-American. So when you have that ethos, don't question authority, you know, we don't have to be transparent, we say you do, it goes from high to low, white to black. And there's an overlap here with labor and racial issues. I mean, it's an unfortunate coupling of those two things in the NFL.
Yeah, and it's been that way. And again, this is another problem with the coaching hires, is because it's always, you know, hookups, you know, whether it's family, nepotism, whatever else. But, you know, this is basically Urban taking care of his boy. His boy got run out of Iowa. Let me throw him a bone. Let me get his career back. Oh, I'm taking care of my boy. There are plenty of other African-American strength coaches out there, other strength coaches out there they could hire. But he's just throwing a bone to his boy, trying to take care of his boy. He got to run out of Iowa.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's that the African-American strength coaches lack the buoyancy or something. I don't know what the excuse will be now. But once upon a time, is they lack buoyancy. let me ask you, and you have to take answer this in like a minute, because I really want to get to the Dak stuff.
That's fine.
Deshaun Watson, you know, like, let's start with the Texans. Everyone's talking about it now. Jack Easterby, who used to be the team chaplain, somehow is running the whole show now. Traded away, essentially, DeAndre Hopkins, has alienated Deshaun Watson, alienated J.J. Watt, alienated Andre Johnson. What is going on with Houston?
No one knows. I mean, you look at this Houston team just, you know, 24 months ago, they were leading Kansas City 24-0 in Kansas City. You know, and just think of all the changes from this Houston team that, you know, that first half against Kansas City, the first quarter against Kansas City, like, oh, you know, this team is special. They have a chance to do something. They collapse in Kansas City, and now, you know, Hopkins is gone, and Watt is gone, and the coach is gone, and Easterby is taking over. You know, it's a dumpster fire in Houston, and you know, obviously McNair, this is all on McNair. Certainly Easterby is the one that's who seems to be making these decisions, but McNair is the owner. He's the one who ultimately is in control and in charge, and he just, you know, it's horrific what's being done and what's happening in Houston. I just don't understand it. No one can explain it, really.
All right, now let's get to the reason that you're on right now, Clarence. It's not Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and Rod likes to write Fort Worth as much as possible. You have no idea how many times this occurs in the script for you. Clarence Fort Worth Hill, Fort Worth Star, Fort Worth Telegram, Fort Worth. Okay. Clarence, we have you on because I like to talk to you about a variety of topics, but especially today I want the scoop on the Dak situation. The team came out with a straight face, you know, ostensibly, and said, nothing to see here, please disperse. There's no story here that we didn't include our franchise quarterback in the hype video for this year. We included everybody who ever played for the Cowboys, including our entire current roster, but not Dak Prescott. Is there a story here or not?
Essentially, there's no story here, but of course, it's Dallas, it's the Cowboys, it's the offseason. There is a story because it's something that shouldn't happen. But believe you me, the people that did the video don't have the pay grade to make a decision on Dak Prescott's contract. And understand, Stephen and Jerry have no idea how to do a hype video, never heard of a hype video, don't know what a hype video is, couldn't put a video together themselves, and they're not at the point where they're going to try to send messages to Dak Prescott in this contract situation by excluding him from a hype video. That's not what they're trying to do.
Well,
they
hold
do
on, Clarence.
On the team.
I am not credulous about this. I'm incredulous, in fact. If you a hype video is about the upcoming season, you're trying to get people hyped for the season. If you don't think the quarterback's going to be there, you don't think some message could get sent. Jerry doesn't have to say, don't include him in the hype video. But if Jerry and Steven don't know and an executive under them gets, you know, like, well, I don't know. You don't think that could trickle down to the social media people?
No. Listen, I've talked to the people over there, and I'm telling you, the people that did this, it was a stupid mistake, but it was a mistake. It was an oversight, probably because they were going through film. I don't know, but I do know that this had nothing to do with the Cowboys and their feelings of Dak Prescott and what they want for the season. No. The Cowboys want that. They have a top five quarterback.
Mm.
You know, you understand what
top
the Cowboys
–
Do you remember the Cowboys between Troy Aikman and Tony Romo when they in the quarterback abyss of – Quincy Carter and all those other quarterbacks that they had to run out there until they found a quarterback and turn them around. They don't want to get on that quarterback abyss again. They want to sign Dak Prescott. They offered him $35 million annually last year. The thing deal broke down over length, not money. So they're going to be out trying to get this thing done again. Certainly soon as the league. One thing that's holding the contract up right now is because we don't know what the salary cap is going to be. The league has not set the salary cap for 2021. There's no way you can really, especially a team that's cap strapped like the Cowboys with the lower cap for 2021, there's no way you can do a deal with Dak until you know what the number's going to be. They don't know what the number's going to be. It could be 175. It could be 180. It could be 185. It could be higher, says the report from CNBC says the NFL is trying to finalize new TV contracts, which could put another $100 billion in their coffers. before they set the 2021 cap. So they need to know what the cap is. Mm-hmm.
Well, I look forward to the Bucks hype video, the Super Bowl hype video that leaves out Tom Brady. I mean, come on. By the way, top five, I know you're in the area, but top five in whose dreams is Dak Prescott a top five quarterback? Wait a minute. Top five, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady. That's four right there. Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert. I'd take all eight of those guys before I took Dak.
Brady is quarterback emeritus, okay? He's quarterback emeritus.
Oh, he doesn't count? Okay, so let's take him out. All right, go ahead. Let's all count him.
Okay, top five, top ten. Let's not argue about the numbers. The bottom line is they have a franchise.
That's some Dallas three-card Monty there. You see what Clarence
let him go.
You see what Clarence Hill just did? Top five, top ten. Who's counting? Let's say top five. The great Clarence Hill, ladies and gentlemen. From according to Raj, the Dallas-Fort Worth Star-Fort Worth Telegram-Fort Worth. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Right. In less than 20 minutes, you can hear what musical artists I'd pick if I were stuck on an island forever and ever. Rest of my life. I guess it won't be forever and ever. You get four artists' catalogs. Is Wu one of them? Is Wu-Tang one of them? I don't like to give things away ahead of time. But my answer rhymes with yes. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Clarence Hill joined me on the Goodyear Hotline, helping you discover the road ahead, Goodyear more driven. You can hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. If you heard me, not cussing, but, you know, some, what would you say it when you say, what would it be called? I guess because you say, damn it, right? Before, as we were coming in from commercial break. Apparently, I don't have a cough button.
You mean when you were gargling?
Yeah. Normally, there's a cough button on the radio. You hit, and if there's no cough button, you just hit off. And Raj informed me that, oh, Max, when you were coughing, we heard it all through that other segment. Mind you, he didn't bother to tell me during the segment. But after the segment's over... I'm at the age now. I'm at the age now where if I have anything with sugar in it or dairy in it, I get a post-nasal drip or something. Oh, it's annoying.
Well, I assumed you knew because you cleared your throat just now knowing that you don't have an off button. You did it again. And I wouldn't call it – coughing was one thing. But what Bubba and I heard – we heard it wasn't coughing. We weren't sure if you had a creature in the background, like a dragon or, you know, that was something different. So that's when I was like, I don't think Max knows that his off button doesn't work. So thank goodness you don't have
I was trying to clear my throat as hard as I could because I thought I was being slick. I thought no one could hear me. I was trying to get it out. You know what I mean? And then it turns out everyone could hear me.
A dragon. It was trying to chain it up or something. I don't know what the hell that was.
Speaking of a dragon, and we have to, like, this James Harden stuff to talk about. But on Max Unboxing, people keep asking me, the show on ESPN2, Max Unboxing, most weeks on 5 p.m., Fridays, ESPN2. People keep asking me about this King Kong-Godzilla matchup, and I'm at my wit's end. You know, I'll get into that later, too, but there's such an obvious answer here. This is ridiculous. Anyway, James Harden, the Nets guard, in case you weren't aware. Raj writes, James Harden, Nets G. Yes. Just thinking. James Harden, he's a basketball player. He plays for the Brooklyn Nets, and he plays the guard position, both point and he's also off ball at times. Anyway, he had a SportsCenter interview with Rachel Nichols, and some of it's the whole thing's worth listening to, but we have some of it for you here. First, on the conversations he's had with Kyrie and KD about defense.
That, in order for us to get to where we want to go, we're going to have to, we don't have to be amazing. We just have to be solid. And right now we're not, solid enough. The schedule is so hectic that we're playing four times a week, and not really enough time to practice. So it has to be throughout the course of the games where we're learning, and I think we're going to use this season, for that.
By the way, James Harden, early in his career, people forget he used to play. It's not that he played it often, but when he needed to, I remember a couple games against Kobe where I was like, damn, James Harden's kind of wants to be a defensive stopper. I know it sounds funny now, but when he was a sixth man, there were games where he would sometimes play some defense. But he didn't care about it for a lot of his career. He has become a responsible defender. He's worked on it, and he's become a responsible defender. He's not doing that for the Nets right now, but he was a good post defender, and he was communicating better with teammates, and he was hustling more. He's an underrated defender at this point. James, you think you have enough to win a championship? Asked Rachel Nichols.
Of course, we're more than confident that it's going to be difficult for a team to beat us four times in the best of seven series. So I'm excited about it, and it's only been a month. All of us is trying to get to one goal, and that's the NBA championship.
You know, meantime, the Nets' record before and after they formed the Big Three, 7-6 before, 8-6 after, and the numbers are very similar. Like, you know, they score more now, obviously, and they give up more than, like, the increase in the points they've given up per game is greater than the increase in the points they score per game since the trade for James Harden. And now they're 8-6 as opposed to 7-6, because when you have three guys who can all get their own shots the way the Big Three can and can all hit them at every level, right? Like, it's never happened before like that. You obviously the Splash Brothers and KD, but Clay can't, you know, Harden and Steph, let's say, are the comparison, and or Kyrie and Steph, and then KD and KD. So it's like Harden versus Clay. Well, obviously Harden can put the ball on the floor much better than Clay, right? And that's the closest comp. Otherwise, show me a team ever with three guys who can all get their own shot like the Big Three can and hit it from anywhere. Threes, deep threes, mid-range, in the paint, from the free throw line. So when you have three guys who can all do that at the end of games, you'd expect your win-loss record to be a little better than the underlying numbers would indicate, because they can win some of those high-leverage situations. But they're going to have to play defense. I keep saying it. This Nets team is going to have to play defense. DeAndre Jordan, as the roster is currently constructed, is going to have to do what he did against Indiana consistently. And he hasn't done that in years, but he's going to have to do that consistently. And if he can, with KD, the way he's played defense before the injury, the way Harden's come along on the defensive end, the way Kyrie's capable of playing it, James Harden's right. They don't have to be amazing defensively. They only need to be respectable because, and I've said this a bunch, but let me say it again. By the end of this year, the Brooklyn Nets will have the greatest offense of all time, and it won't be particularly close. I just said all three guys. Kyrie bombs from three, and he hits 40% of his threes, like basically for his career. Great free throw shooter. Can hit shot. One of the best bad shot makers ever. Kevin Durant's one of the most efficient offensive players of all time. And James Harden is, like, in terms of all-around scoring package, on a very short list of greatest scorers ever. And they all shoot. Like, there have been combinations like Westbrook and Durant and someone, but Westbrook can't shoot. All these guys can shoot. And then you add Joe Harris? They don't need to play five out with Jeff Green. They need a defensive stopper. Can DeAndre Jordan be that? He once was in his career at times. Can he be that for this team? The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as Durant and the Nets visit Steph Curry and the Warriors. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Okay, so you're stuck on an island. You can have four music artists' catalogs. Who am I rocking with? Four. Now, I warn you ahead of time, I'm going to cheat like crazy on this. You'll see what I mean. You can play along in your car. Which four? Catalogs of four musical artists throughout history. But you're going to be stuck on that island for the rest of your life. Choose wisely. The college basketball season is heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Minnesota's Marcus Carr scored 19 points last night to lead the Golden Gophers over number 24 Purdue. The John R. Wooden Award, presented by Wendy's. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Time for Music Fantasy Island. By the way, hey, Raj, check this out. Can you hear me? It's COVID. I have to cover my mouth.
I can see you doing something, but I couldn't hear you on that first one. No, how I about now? What'd you do?
Oh, I got the mute button fixed.
You fixed it. You figured it out.
Hey, watch this, everybody. Look, it really works. Watch this. Hey, Raj. See, you couldn't hear it, could you?
Look at you. It only took you, I don't know how long, almost a year to figure out how to mute
I'm
your,
coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. You can hit me at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Go ahead, Raj.
Well, you know, we were thinking, we were doing something, I think we were talking about the Beatles and how obviously they sound just like the Monkees, and, you know, I'm pretty sure I saw the Yellow Submarine on the Monkees first or something like that. But anyway, I got me to thinking, like, when you're on an island, you know, everyone says one artist, you got to pick an island if you were stuck. Well, that's unrealistic. I want four artists, so you can have four catalogs. Max, you are on an island for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Who are you rocking with on this island? You get four catalogs.
I'm starting with Wu-Tang, okay? And let me tell you, this is where I'm cheating. That includes everyone in Wu-Tang's catalog. Not just the Wu-Tang Clan. I want all Ghost, Ray, Deck, Method Man, ODB. I want everybody. That's right.
Okay.
So that's one.
Right, that's a good choice.
That's one. Okay. Two is also a definite. It's Zeppelin. Zeppelin, like Wu-Tang, if you tried to pick their top 10 songs, you wind up with 50 songs. You're like, I don't know what I can leave out here. Their catalog is ridiculous.
You say so.
Three is Bob Marley. Because Bob Marley also is an artist with so many great songs. Although young people like think that that's not good. To my ears, Bob Marley still sounds great. And especially you're on an island, you know, why not some reggae? You're on an island, you should enjoy it. All right, that leaves one left. I considered Jay-Z. I considered Stevie Wonder. I considered Sinatra. I considered a lot of people.
I know you're going. You said you're going with Biggie.
I consider Biggie didn't make enough. He didn't make enough records. Okay.
Okay. What about Tupac? He's got like a zillion albums.
No. I didn't listen to Tupac like that.
I know it. Last one. I know. I got it. You always talk about Tribe Called Quest.
But no, Quest. I like Quest a lot, but it's not. That's not on this level. Okay.
All right. Who you got?
Well, you know how old people really like classical music, and I'm 47 already. If I'm on this island for the rest of my life, hopefully I could live to an old age. I don't want the same popular music genre, right? I need something to grow into. So, ready? Beethoven.
Yeah, I'm ready. What?
That's right. I got a lot of popular music. I have hip-hop covered with Wu-Tang. I want different genres, right? I have reggae covered with Bob Marley. I have classic rock covered with Zeppelin. I'm not going to be able to go Motown. Like, I love the five stair steps, right? But they didn't have a deep enough catalog. Stevie did. And that's like, Motown, but I already have a lot of popular music. I need something to grow into as an old man. So Beethoven, there it is.
I feel like you'd be playing this when you're trying to build a raft to get off the island. You know what I mean? Just picture Max.
That's right. I just picked my favorite classical music composer.
Okay. And remember, folks, you can go to ESPN Radio.
Really romantic music,
Twitter,
but go ahead.
To vote Late on classical. This poll because me and Brendan have our ideas as well. But anyway, I've thought of this a lot, and my first band I'm going to go with, huge catalog. You said you don't get them. I tried to get you into them years ago, but Radiohead. Mm-hmm. Radiohead would be my first choice. I feel like they kind of broke a lot of rules. What is he playing? The one song
I like Radiohead, I guess. I don't know anything about him.
You see, Brendan, that's why I can't have you do this. This is the one song they refuse to play live because this is their one hit.
I can't help what we have in the system, all right? I like Radiohead. Would you calm down?
I knew it. This was a concern. All right, this is
honestly, I don't know a lot about Radiohead. I'll check them out.
All right, my next one would be Prince. Got to roll with Prince, man. You talk about, do I get his tree? Do I get all the people he produced and all the songs he wrote stuff for?
Yeah, well, listen, if you do that, you got a lot. But let me tell you something, just in terms of the albums they produced, like I get Prince's are great and everything like that. It's not like, I got to hear a Prince record. And between him and Michael Jackson, I'm sorry, I don't think that was competition. I think MJ got it by far.
Oh, please. All right, the last time you heard MJ is when you were 12. It's for, you know, it didn't hold up. You listen to the music and the lyrics now, Prince destroys it. Anyway, let's move along.
You have a point.
My next one would be Bob Marley, one of my earliest influences in the music.
Me too.
And everyone likes the little happy, you know, music that he has on the Legend album. I like the angry music. Bob was an angry
Chase
man.
Chase those crazy bald heads.
Yes. Listen to Get Up, Stand Up. Listen to the words of Get Up, Stand Up. See who he's really talking about. Anyway,
that's right.
And then finally, not the best MC, I'm saying, but my favorite MC, plus friend of the show.
Yes.
Public Enemy.
Yeah, you can go
Chuck
do a lot worse than Public Enemy.
Chuck D. Yep. Oh, man. And even though past their successful things, they still release a lot of good music, in my opinion. So that's me. All right, B. Who you got? Who you rolling with?
Let's listen to all Brendan's soul music now. Go ahead, Brendan.
Yeah, here we go. Here we go. All right. Just missing the cut for me, Nirvana and Tom Petty. Mm-hmm. Just missed the cut. Thought about Tom, but my number one, I had to go with my favorite band, that's Stone Temple Pilots, so put them in. That was an automatic, my favorite band. Then I had to go with the greatest band of all time, that's the Beatles. They're my number two.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Beatles are in there, so the greatest band of all time. Then it went with my band from my childhood that I really enjoyed. Changed up the genre, going a little punk rock, Blink 182.
Blink 182?
Get a little name punk one rock. Song. Yeah, you don't need to. You're an old man. Don't
also,
worry about
it. Also, your childhood. What was your childhood? Yesterday?
Kind of, yeah.
That is not punk rock, by the way.
All right, settle down.
Yeah, it's not Sid Vicious. You're not talking about the Sex Pistols here. You're talking about Blink 182. Go ahead.
And lastly, due to their catalog, like I said, Nirvana couldn't do enough. Tom Petty couldn't do enough. Mm-hmm. But the one band who did enough, Led Zeppelin.
Yes, well, we agree. Also, so you and I have overlap, Raj, with Bob Marley. We both have Bob Marley. And you and I, Brendan, with Led Zeppelin. So that's Bob Marley and Led Zeppelin looking really good right now. And all I can say about Radiohead and Prince and Stone Temple Pilots instead of Wu-Tang is you are both out of your mind. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.